We open with hymn 55. Psalm 114 responsibly, found on page 124. Psalm 14. The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God."
They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good.
The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men,
to see if there were any that could understand and seek God.
They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy.
There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge?
Who eat up thy people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord.
There were they in great fear.
For God is in the generation of the righteous.
Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor.
Because the Lord is his refuge.
Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people.
Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first reading is found in the fourth chapter of Malachi, the first through the sixth verse. Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise, with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Here ends our first lesson. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our second lesson is found in the first chapter of Luke, the first through the 25th verse. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order the narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were from the beginning, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to them, delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared up for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you shall be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Here ends our second lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
We sing hymn number 61. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the first chapter of Luke, the 5th through the 25th verse. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, whenever God intends to do something important regarding the human race, he announces it first. Sometimes this announcement comes as a warning. Before he brings destruction, he first warns a people to repent of their sins. And so before he destroyed the world with a flood, he sent Noah preaching. Before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent Abraham and Lot. Before he destroyed Nineveh, he sent Jonah. And they did repent, and he did not destroy them. He warned Israel and Judah generation after generation by the prophets before he sent the Assyrians or the Babylonians or another oppressor. Even in the Garden of Eden, he warned Adam and Eve not to eat of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil before they ate of it, and warned them what would happen if they did. It is not only warnings that God gives, but he also gives promises. Promises of good things to come before he sends them. He foretells what the good things that he intends to do so that we might be ready to receive the benefits of his blessing. The greatest promise of all is the blessing of the grace and mercy of the forgiveness of sins which he intended to bring to men through his Son who would come into the world to save sinners. The greatest of blessings he announces right from the beginning. For no sooner did man need redemption than God promised a redeemer, the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head, undoing that which Satan had done. Why does God announce what he intends to do? Why doesn't he just simply do it? Well, he does this for our benefit, so that we will believe his word of salvation and not doubt. When God promises something, it is so certain, it is the same as if God was announcing that it was already done. Therefore, when we hear that Abraham believed God's promise concerning Christ, Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness even though the promise would not be kept for many generations. It did not matter because when God has promised it, it is done. And a man can be saved by faith in God's word, even if God has yet to fulfill it in our time. Therefore, it is of the Lord's mercy that he announces beforehand what he intends to do, so that in every generation we might have the opportunity to hear his word and to believe it, to repent of our sins, and to be saved by faith. Therefore, let us consider the announcements of God's grace in Christ Jesus. First to Zacharias, then to Mary, and finally to all the world through the preaching of John the Baptizer. So great was the coming of the Son of God that God even promised beforehand a forerunner. He promised the one who would announce the promise through the prophet Malachi, which we heard in our text in one of our lessons. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Those are strong words. They are both a warning and a blessing rolled into one. God promised that before the great and dreadful time of judgment, he would send Elijah the prophet to warn the people, to bring them to repentance. While some looked for a literal return of Elijah back from the dead, God was speaking prophetically. As the angel of our lesson announced, and as Jesus later confirmed, the promised prophet would come in the spirit and power of Elijah, preaching boldly as Elijah preached, faithful as Elijah was faithful, even unto death. The time foretold in all the law and the prophets would come. How dreadful it would be if, when that time came, no one believed God's word. No one repented of their sins. That all would turn away from God's salvation and then receive his curse because of their unbelief. Therefore, when the time came that God was about to keep his promise, he announced once more to Zacharias that he, in his old age, when both he and his wife were well past the age of childbearing, Zacharias would have a son who would be that very child promised in Malachi, the one who would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God wanted his people to take his promises seriously. God does not send prophets preaching his word without sincerely wanting his people to hear and to repent and to believe his word. What he tells them to do, he desires that they do. He gives signs like he does here in our lesson, so with the announcement to Zacharias, so that we might see that even though men do not believe, God is still faithful, and he will keep his word. Indeed, God shows that even when his word seems impossible, nevertheless, he still keeps his word. And when he keeps it, he does it in such a way that makes it entirely clear that it was his work, and it was done entirely by his grace, and not because we are worthy of his love. And so that is true here as well. The age of Zechariah and Elizabeth was such that any possibility of their having children after all those years seemed laughable. And though Zacharias did not laugh like Sarah once laughed when another angel announced to Sarah and Abraham that they would have a son, nevertheless, Zacharias too did not believe. They were barren. And that barrenness was not because they had committed some sin. Our text specifically makes a point of telling us that they were blameless in that regard. They walked in every law and ordinance of God perfectly. That does not mean that they were without sin, but that they faithfully kept all of the ordinance of God, the worship that God had ordained that they should do, including those by which Zacharias and Elizabeth regularly repented of their sins and believed God's word of promise. And yet, for all of that, they still did not have children. If anyone deserved the blessing of God, if anyone deserved children, they did. And yet this was denied them in spite of their many prayers. And yet now, after they were long past the age of childbearing, the angel comes and he tells Zacharias that their prayers have been answered and that they would have a son. And now what does Zacharias do after having such a wonderful track record? he doubts God's promise. The very time when he should be rejoicing and thanking God, not only for granting him a son, but for fulfilling his promises concerning the forerunner of Christ. And then, of course, immediately thereafter, Christ himself. But none of that. Zacharias blew it. At this point, you'd expect that God would now withdraw this promise, because Zacharias certainly did not deserve it. How would you feel if you were met with such doubt right when your people should believe? And yet it is just at such a time that God makes it clear through Gabriel that this promise will be fulfilled in its own time. Despite any impossibility according to man's reason or unbelief of Zacharias, God would keep his promise. For he did not send John because Elizabeth and Zacharias were good people, but because he was a gracious God. Nevertheless, God used Zacharias as an example so that his doubt would be turned into a sign marking the birth of this special child so that the people of Israel would take note. Zacharias was struck dumb until the child was born. And when Zacharias, now believing God's promise, named that child John, suddenly his tongue was loosed so that all who saw him were amazed, and they wondered what manner of child this should be. Oh, how God in his mercy turns evil to good and unbelief into a testimony of his own faithfulness. In this time of Advent, as our Lord blesses us with many promises concerning his son Jesus Christ, even though he's already kept these promises, yet just like Zacharias and the people of old, we have not seen it with our eyes. We have not heard the preaching of John. We have not seen Jesus heal the sick. We did not see him transfigured on the mountain. We certainly did not see him crucified. And we did not see him rise from the dead. Just as with Zacharias, all we have is the word and promise of God. Therefore, let us learn well from the faithfulness of God, who in spite of our sin and unbelief always keeps his promise, even when all the wisdom of men contradicts it. Our great and dreadful day when we shall stand before the Lord Jesus has not yet come. Yet just as it did for the people of Israel, so it shall come for us. In the meantime, God has announced what he will do on the last day when he will send his Son in judgment. Every day, he announces his sincere desire that we hear his word and promise, believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, and be saved. Thank God, then, for this time of Advent and for this time in this life when we can prepare to receive our Lord Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn number 71.
be set forth before thee as incense.
We sing the Magnificat. People, that as they rejoice in the advent of thine only begotten Son according to the flesh, so when he comes a second time in his majesty, they may receive the reward of eternal life, through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all.